This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Maintaining bone strength is complex with no single solution. My patients who want to optimize their bone health have seen remarkable results with LiveMD as part of a comprehensive bone program. LiveMD is a Class 1 medical device cleared by the FDA. It creates a gentle, low-intensity vibration to benefit your musculoskeletal system. It's a safe, scientifically proven, and simple approach to maintaining musculoskeletal health and wellness. It really works, just 10 minutes per day. Go to livemd.us, that's livemd.us, to learn more about how LiveMD may improve your health. That's livemd.us. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to tackle a subject that I think is of great importance. We haven't really focused in laser-like on this subject, I think ever in the history of intelligent medicine, and that is vitamin E, but we have to talk about vitamin E as a family of nutrients. There's actually eight different variants, if you include the tocotrienols. And we're going to talk to an expert. She's Jolie Root. She is a nutritionist and a nurse, and she works as an educator in the natural products industry for J.R. Carlson Laboratories. This is a small, nimble company that makes excellent products. I use many of their products, and they're specialists in vitamin E and tocotrienols. And so this discussion is right in her wheelhouse. Also, she's the host of two weekly radio programs, Food for Thought, heard Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on WMCA New York, which is actually a radio station that I started out on in broadcasting more than 25 years ago. So I'm very familiar with it. So she broadcasts on the same day that I broadcast on another radio station, WOR, on Saturdays. A little later, so you can catch us both on Saturdays in New York, or presumably via live stream. Also on KNEW San Francisco, streaming at WMCA.com. And she also hosts Healthline, which is heard Mondays, 11 a.m. Eastern, on WLVJ Fort Lauderdale. And that is also archived online. So without further ado, let's talk to Jolie Root. Jolie, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here with you. We've done radio before, usually with me hosting, so this is a nice switch for me.
Indeed. Well, you know, one of the nice things about having a fellow radio host on the program, you can't go wrong, right? Because you're like media savvy and articulate, so we can't go wrong, right?
We're in no danger of dead air with the pair of us, that's for sure.
Exactly. That's one of the dread phenomena in radio is like there's no sound at all, and people run to the radios and usually switch stations. So we won't
exactly.
Do that. Excuse me. So today's subject, vitamin E. J.R. Carlson is a very, very well reputed manufacturer of supplements. They make a wide variety of vitamin E and tocotrienol products. And so tell us a little bit about vitamin E. It's not just so simple as, well, you know, this is vitamin E, vitamin C, vitamin D. Vitamin E comes in a lot of different forms, correct?
It does. It's a family of compounds, and we call vitamin E vitamin E and have a tendency to think that it's just one element, but vitamin E is a group of compounds. There are eight of them. There are tocopherols and there are tocotrienols. And generally, when someone just goes to a drugstore and buys a vitamin E supplement, they're going to get an alpha tocopherol, and it may even be a synthetic alpha tocopherol. And so I guess we could start with that, because
sure.
that's really the reason that Carlson came into being, was that back in the early 1960s, only synthetic was really available in the United States, and Susan Carlson was a pharmacist. Her father had had a very positive experience with vitamin E from a Canadian clinic dealing with his heart failure, but it was a succinate form of D-alpha tocopheryl acetate, which sounds synthetic, but actually is a natural form. And that form was not available in the U.S., and so that was the whole reason that Carlson came into being, was to make natural vitamin E rather than synthetic available at that time in pharmacies in the U.S., and then it spread into the natural product industry, and the company expanded their offerings over the last 50 years, and history was made. But natural is it, twice is
it,
as active.
Excuse me, Jolie, is it coincidence that it comes from Canada? Because that was the home base of a couple of guys named the Shoot Brothers.
It was the Shoot Institute who treated Susan's father for his heart failure.
And they were big believers in vitamin E for cardiovascular disease, real vitamin E pioneers.
Exactly. And higher doses, you know, in the thousands of units as opposed to the hundreds of units that were the much smaller doses that were being recommended in the early 1960s. And no one on this side of the Canadian border was connecting vitamin E to cardiovascular well-being as early as that. So it was pioneering work that Wilfred and Evan Shoot were doing, and it was the Shoot brothers who actually had a hand in the genesis of Carlson, because it was exactly the Shoot Institute that Susan's father went to. And what he found when he started taking vitamin E was relief of the symptoms that he was having with his heart failure, shortness of breath, chest pain, and he had really been told that there was really not anything to do for his situation, and that it was time for him to be certain that his affairs were in order. And he lived for several years after starting with the Shoot protocol of vitamin E, and so it was that family history and that astonishing response to a higher dose of natural vitamin E that was the reason that Carlson came into being.
Oh, fascinating. So before we get into the different types of vitamin E that are available, the tocopherols, the tocotrienols, and distinguishing among them, what is it about vitamin E that might be helpful for the cardiovascular system? Why should it make a difference?
Well, vitamin E is an antioxidant, and we know that there are drivers of accelerated aging or pathology in the body, and oxidative stress is certainly one of them. I would also tag inflammation as a thing that we need to pay attention to that has direct negative impact on the heart and blood vessels. And I would also say that glycation is a problem. And I'm sure that you've talked about all of these things many times on Intelligent Medicine. Vitamin E plays a role in all of those. It's an antioxidant, so it helps to blunt oxidative stress. It helps to bring into balance the pro and anti oxidative function in the cells. And it is also an anti-inflammatory, and it can help to reduce the impact of glycation on tissues, which is how sugar damages tissues in the body. And when sugar damages the tissues in the blood vessel, that drives oxidation. We have more free radicals released, and it drives inflammation. So you have this then perfect storm of things that can damage and injure and age the blood vessels and cause cardiovascular events and also things like stroke.
And there's a little bit of a blood-thinning effect of vitamin E. It's an antiplatelet effect, aspirin-like, correct?
That's right. So inhibiting unhealthy clotting, which is a tendency in this high-sugar-consuming society that we live in today.
So hence a benefit in cardiovascular disease, perhaps a stroke, and so on. So so let's get back now to some of the basics. We gotta wade through a little bit the biochemistry here. There are four different vitamin E's or tocopherols, and then related compounds are tocotrienols. So let's start with the tocopherols. What's up with that?
Well, the tocopherols are the ones that are typically found in the vitamin E supplements, And a large number of supplements are simply one of the tocopherols, the alpha tocopherol. And that is the element in vitamin E with which vitamin E activity is measured. So a lot of times if a consumer goes out to find, say, a 400-unit vitamin E supplement, what they will actually get is 400 units of alpha tocopherol. Mm-hmm. At Carlson, we've always felt that even though it hadn't been explored with as much interest or as much depth, that in nature, if there are four tocopherols, then in the body there are probably roles for all of the tocopherols. And the same thing is true with the other half of the family, the tocotrienols. But sticking with the tocopherols, gamma tocopherol, for example, is one that doesn't get enough attention, in my opinion. And since alpha tocopherol is what we find in most supplements, very few people are actually taking advantage of some of the benefits of gamma tocopherol. And gamma tocopherol goes after a different kind of free radical, for starters, a nitrogen free radical, which is something that can be very injurious in the brain.
The peroxynitrates?
Yes, yeah. Exactly, mm-hmm. And is linked to higher risk of Alzheimer's disease. So gamma tocopherol would have a very strong role in healthy aging of the brain. But it also regulates some of the expression of certain genes that influence cancer growth, and specifically prostate cancer and colon cancer.
Yep.
So gamma tocopherol is worth considering. Carlson makes a gamma supplement, the Gamma E Gems, that is a very potent gamma tocopherol mm-hmm. supplement. With
yeah,
the
that's actually
tocopherol,
my favorite. I actually utilize yeah. that in my clinic.
Yes, so the idea that there are eight compounds in nature always has us wondering, well, what do the others do, and should we be taking all of them? And I really have come to the strong conclusion that, yes, we do need to avail ourselves of all of the forms of vitamin E.
Well, also help us distinguish between the so-called dry E and the oil-based E, because there are tablets of E, and I guess they involve the dry E.
Yes. And a lot of times the succinate vitamin E is in a tablet form. That doesn't mean that it isn't still a fat-soluble form of vitamin E. It is. But vitamin E is a fat-soluble nutrient, and in most cases, vitamin E supplements come in an oil base. But occasionally you will find the dry E. There are some people that have some issues with digesting oils mm-hmm. themselves, so maybe a vitamin E tablet might be a better option for people that have some issues with oils, but most of the time the body is really pretty favorable to oil if it's high quality oil. So,
and then there's the emulsified vitamin E, which explain that. Why is that? Why could that play a role for some select people?
Well, also the same reason that some of the people might want to take the dry vitamin E. People that have issues with digesting fat, maybe they have had gallbladder surgery, or they have pancreatic insufficiency. The pancreas produces enzymes that help to break down fat, or they have hepatic, you know, liver challenges with maybe not a great production of bile. Gallbladder stores bile, the liver produces it. But people that have challenges with digesting fats sometimes benefit from an emulsified supplement that where the fat has been pre-digested slightly, if you will, so that the assimilation is boosted for people that have maybe got a little bit of a weakness when it comes to breaking down oils.
Mm-hmm. And we hear the term mixed tocopherols a lot. That means that you're getting all four of the natural tocopherols mixed together?
That's right. So with vitamin E, what you have the alpha tocopherol, but you also have the beta, the gamma, and the delta tocopherols. And when you get a mixed supplement, you're getting all four. The companies that are, well, I think that are really following the nutrition research will offer a mixed tocopherol with the stated value in alpha tocopherol and then an additional dose of the other three, meaning if it says it's a 400 international unit supplement, it'll be 400 units of alpha tocopherol with an additional quantity of the beta, gamma, and delta. And that usually or should represent the way that the vitamin E would typically be found in a food that's a vitamin E source, like walnuts or almonds or vegetable oils, wheat germ,
avocados,
or wheat germ oil, avocado, right. Mm-hmm. These are all good sources of vitamin E in nature, and a good mixed tocopherol supplement will be structured similar to the way that vitamin E would be structured in an avocado, good
but
example.
Are all mixed tocopherols the same, of same quality? Because we now say that the gamma tocopherol is particularly important, and so you can get mixed tocopherols that have just maybe a little smattering of something else besides alpha tocopherol, maybe a little bit of gamma so they can make the declaration, a little bit of the delta, a little bit of the beta. So the product that we just mentioned, the eGEMS with high gamma tocopherol, that's kind of revs up the gamma tocopherol a little bit, right?
It does. It does, and that's why, that's one of the reasons why I like that product. Because we really, of all of the other components, the gamma tocopherol is the one that we have the most literature on, the one that we have the most research on. So that gamma eGEMS is, it's got 162 units of alpha, but it's got 465 milligrams of gamma tocopherol, and then 200 milligrams of delta and beta. So it's a nice, robust formula, and particularly in the area of the gamma tocopherol, which, again, if your issue is prostate cancer or your issue is colon cancer, you have those in your family history, or you have a personal history of either one of those. Gamma is also very active in the lungs, so a person that is a former smoker that's concerned about lung health, gamma tocopherol might be a great idea. And certainly healthy aging of the brain is another area where that would be a vitamin E that I think would be a good choice.
We'll focus in a little bit on each of those specific conditions in just a moment, because we want to go over the scientific literature and the studies, and actually there's some controversy about vitamin E that we're going to visit in just a few moments. But coming back to the labeling of vitamin E products, it's a little bit confusing for the consumer, because you only get credit for the alpha tocopherol. So if you picked up that eGEMS product, it looks a little low, right, in the vitamin E declaration there. You said it was 100 and some odd alpha tocopherol?
Yeah, the thing is, though, really, with the Carlson product, the gamma eGEMS, they tell you the potency of the gamma on the front of the label.
Right.
And then the supplement fact panel delineates the other thing.
Okay.
So what it says is gamma eGEMS 465 milligrams. So it actually does tell you how much gamma.
Milligrams, but not IUs. Milligrams, but not IUs, right?
Right.
And that's approximately equivalent, in because it's confusing with other vitamins, like, you know, milligrams of vitamin D and IUs of vitamin D. That's a whole, like, a mathematical equation. But pretty much it's a one-to-one with vitamin E. So 400 milligrams is 400 IUs approximately, isn't it?
It's close to that. The thing to know is the gamma is measured in milligrams, and in the studies that I've seen, they often say 200 milligrams twice a day. So the 400 milligrams would cover that adequately as far as a clinical amount of gamma to take in on a daily basis.
Right, and there's controversy about amounts, too, because there's some studies that are saying, well, you know, take a little bit, don't take too much, but Isn't there something about alpha tocopherol that when you take a lot of it, it blocks the action of gamma tocopherol? So maybe you don't want too much alpha, and many of the supplements are just alpha. So maybe they're blocking the body's or the dietary gamma tocopherol.
Well, that's something that is a concern. There's a couple of ways. There's schools of thought about that, and the tocotrienol research hasn't actually found alpha tocopherol to be a conflict with the tocotrienols, but I have an enormous amount of respect for Dr. Passwater, Richard Passwater, who is a science director over at Solgar, but just a father of nutrition.
Yeah.
Education and someone I've looked up to for my whole career, and he feels that there is a bit of a competition. So one of the things that I like about that gamma EGMs is that it's a lot more gamma than alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, with my own personal vitamin E supplementation, I do also take the tocotrienols, but I take them at a different meal than I take my vitamin E, mm-hmm. The tocopherol supplement. So, just in case. It's kind of one of those.
Right.
Just in case Dr. Passwater's right about all of that, I'll take them at different times of day.
Right. Yeah, sometimes it's said to take the tocotrienols maybe at bedtime to make sure they're away from other things that might compete with them. But let's focus
right.
in a little on the tocotrienols, which also have, I guess, alpha, beta, gamma, delta. The tocotrienols are kind of a less well-known type of supplement, but what are some of the attributes of the tocotrienols in terms of therapeutic applications?
Well, they've been found to do some interesting things. One of the things that they do is they function a little bit like the statin medications that lower cholesterol. They inhibit that HMG-CoA reductase enzyme, which is an enzyme that the liver uses to produce cholesterol. So the tocotrienols work the same way. So they inhibit the synthesis, the production of cholesterol. And in a couple of studies, 100 to 200 milligrams of tocotrienols daily reduced LDL, the 100 milligram by 8%, the 200 milligram by 25%. That was in a 4 to 10 week period of time. So that was that's 25% reduction in LDL is pretty significant.
Yeah,
that was 200 milligrams.
Better than statins.
Yeah,
usually,
exactly.
You know, unless you're using a very high dose.
Unless you're on a great big, unless you're on a big 80 milligram
yes.
Crestor kind of dose of statin.
Mm-hmm.
Reduction in systolic blood pressure in the aorta is another benefit with tocotrienol. Reducing arterial stiffness after 8 weeks is another benefit. So these are things that would play right into benefiting blood vessel and heart health. Arterial stiffness of blood vessels is something that leads to hypertension and, can be a risk factor for stroke and also hemorrhaging, aneurysm. We want flexible blood vessels, so inhibiting the stiffness of blood vessels is a big benefit. Another thing that has been interesting with tocotrienols is stiffness in another area of the body, which is the liver. There are a lot of people that have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Yes,
today,
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because of overconsumption of carbohydrates, refined sugars, high fructose corn syrup, this whole metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes epidemic that we have with the Western diet has led to liver disease not related to alcohol.
Yep.
And tocotrienol.
Number one cause of liver disease. A lot of people think it's hepatitis or it's alcoholism, but it's actually poor diet.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
So it doesn't happen quickly, but 200 milligrams of the mixed tocotrienols, and in this case it's a patented, the Tocomin Superbio, which is another thing that Carlson offers, reduced the fatty liver disease in patients that had elevated liver enzymes. big changes in the size of the liver and the stiffness in the liver. Not quite sure how they measure that.
They actually, there's a test. There's like an ultrasound test now that measures, for some reason, they're able to get the stiffness of the liver because, as you know, the liver kind of gets fibrosed, it becomes stiffer, like the arteries in some ways. But, you know, a stiff liver is a damaged liver.
So some of the participants were actually cleared of fatty liver, which I think is astonishing. Really,
from
you know, this other member of the vitamin E family, and hardly gets any discussion. I was tickled when you wanted to talk about vitamin E today because there are so many good things to talk about.
Well,
so
actually, there was a recent study. I think it was in the New England Journal of Medicine, because usually, you know, I look at that journal, and usually it's like, you know, some new drug that's super expensive that has a lot of side effects, and okay, I kind of skip over that article. But there was an article recently about precisely this condition, fatty liver, and they compared vitamin E and a drug called Trental, which is used also in claudication, you know, which is this circulatory problem in the lower extremities where it hurts when you walk. And they had great hopes for the Trental because, wow, you know, it's another way you can sell that drug for a whole, you know, like tens of millions of people. And they found that it kind of worked. It was a little helpful. But the vitamin E was actually better than the Trental, and together they worked really well to reverse fatty liver. So that's with the vitamin E part, and they probably aren't even hip to the tocotrienol situation.
Right, exactly. So, but we don't have to wait for them to get hip to it, because
exactly.
the people that listen to us can avail themselves of this. It's not particularly expensive. The early tocotrienol supplements were kind of expensive, but this Tocomin Superbio is not particularly expensive, and so people can get right on it. Another thing that I find fascinating is reduction in white matter lesions in the brain, which are areas, now that we can image the brain, you know, such progress with technology that we can look at living brains and see what's going on. And people that have transient ischemic attacks get these little areas. They're sort of like little plaque areas. They call them white matter lesions. Mm-hmm. And the more of those you have, the more likely it is that you will develop dementia and maybe progress on to Alzheimer's. And the tocotrienol supplement really reduced the number of white matter lesions seen.
You know, there's a word for that in radiology, which is UBOs, unidentified bright objects, kind of like UFOs. And you don't want to have a lot of UBOs in your brain. So one of the reasons I really would prefer not to get an MRI of my brain, because those wild 60s and 70s may have left their toll.
You and me both.
Yeah, we're veterans of that era. But okay, so this, you've rolled out some really exciting possibilities here. And as our listeners know, we divide our podcast into two parts. So when we return, we're going to take a deep dive on vitamin E and the application to brain issues, cardiovascular issues, cancer, eye problems. There's a whole lot more to talk about. Immunity, if you're ready to field some of those issues.
Great.
Yeah, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, talking today to Jolie Root. Jolie Root has her own radio program, and actually programs, plural. WMCA.com is a place where you can get her podcast and her live stream. And we'll give you the heads up on more ways that you can access her information in part two. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.